News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning and welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. With me, like always, Rick Van Dyvendyke, and he's joining me by phone. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jay.
Okay, here we are. It is, summer's flying by. It's just about the middle of July now. And
that makes my wife really mad when she's the summer's half gone.
Well, I don't know if it's half gone. Depends what you consider summer, right? I mean, summer just started, really. But, here we are. And I was just talking with you off the air here about the garden center and how many trees are still in stock and shrubs and everything. I think that's probably one big misconception people don't, think about, or they think of it the wrong way, that you got to get all your trees and shrubs planted in the spring and that's it. That's the only chance you got. But it's not.
No, and the big advantage this year is that you can plant all year long, from time the ground thaws, right,
mm-hmm.
to the time the ground freezes in the fall, you can plant. The biggest thing is that you don't want to go away for 2 weeks after you plant some plants, right? Well, and this year, there's a lot of people that are staycationing, right? So spending a lot of time in their yard, fixing up the yard, because they're spending, like I said, it's becoming their little sanctuary. And so being home, you can water and take care of the plants. So, the sales in the trees and shrubs right across Canada has been just incredible all the year long, even right now.
Yep, exactly. Some nice weather we've had, and hopefully some more nice weather on the way, but we could see some rain in the Saskatoon area later today. We'll see what happens with that. Let's go into the text line, and hopefully we'll get some calls up here soon, but we've got a text that have already rolled in. The early bird gets the worm. Jerry from North Battleford says, I've got a pine tree. It's about 14 feet tall. I noticed the center needles are getting brown, and some are falling off. However, the outside is doing pretty well, and it's had good growth this spring. Is there anything to worry about?
No, on pines, every fall, some needles will turn yellow, and then through the wintertime, they'll turn brown and just fall off. That's a normal thing that pines just do in the center of the tree. Also, what makes that go a little quicker is spider mite. So you get spider mite, they work from the inside out, and that's on spruces and pines and cedars mm-hmm. as well and junipers. So if you do have those, you can get a magnifying glass and you can check if you see little webbing between the little in the branches and the needles, and it's just a pine webbing. It's not like a Charlotte's web where you see webs going from branch to branch. It's in between the needles
right.
where you'll see it. So you need to see it with a magnifying glass, and then you can tell whether you have spider mite. And the only thing that really works with spider mite is you can use a product called Andol.
Mm-hmm.
It's spray quite a bit. It works kind of okay to help control them all, and or otherwise use Malathion, and that controls them really well.
Okay. So it could be that problem, Jerry. It might just be the way it naturally sheds its needles, but you could take care of it, by doing that. So keep that in mind. 1-877-332-8255. That's where you call and you text. Second question is from Wanda, who's in Saskatoon. What can I do for a cherry tomato plant that's now very tall? How do I prune it?
Just nip the top, like this, basically to where you see the main stem going up.
Mm-hmm.
You can nip that back to a branch that you want to take it back to, like where a horizontal branch is going out, and just nip it back, and you can do that now. A lot of tomatoes, there's determinate and indeterminate. Determinate means that it's going to be like more of a bush type of a tomato. Indeterminate, more of a vine. So you can either do two things. One is that you can either pinch it and control it, or you can get a trellis and let it grow a little bit taller if you want as well. But a lot of people this time of the year will start pinching it and more concentrate on growing the tomatoes rather than more vine.
Mm, yeah. And that's what you want ultimately, right? Nobody really grows a tomato as a pretty plant in their yard. You want the tomatoes off of it. So.
Well, don't forget it. A lot of the growers that grow them in greenhouse, they actually grow wires right up to the ceiling of the greenhouse. And then they have carts with ladders on them because they want as much plant as they can to get as much tomatoes as they can, right?
Oh, that's true, yep.
So.
Okay, let's keep going. We have Mark gave us a call but didn't want to come on the air, and he asked, he's got a Bellasole potentilla. It's doing poorly. What can he do about him?
Okay, potentillas don't like to have their feet wet all the time.
Mm.
So make sure that you're keeping it moist but not wet down below. So you need to probe the soil. I always tell people, and people hear me on the show a lot, is talking about a piece of rebar, 3-inch rebar. If I have one about 3 feet long, I can poke it down into the planting hole and see what the moisture's like down at the bottom of the planting hole, not at the surface. I'm talking about where the potentilla is going to be 12 inches down. With a tree, it's going to be more like 16 inches down. And then see what the moisture is down there, because you could actually be watering at the top, and it dries out quick with this, you know, sun and the wind we've been having. But at the bottom, it just keeps filling up with water, and then the potentillas don't like that at all. So just be careful of that. Potentillas like to be moist, but they do not like having their feet wet at all.
Okay, so there you go. That could be a part of the problem.
Yep.
Mark, who gave us a call, 1-877-332-8255. We've got more texts to get to, but we do have calls rolling in right now. So we're going to go to Warman and talk to Diane this morning. Good morning, Diane.
Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
I have a problem with a couple of trees in our yard. We have the choke cherry Schubert in the front.
Yes.
And the flowering crab in the back. And my husband trimmed them back last fall.
Yep.
And this spring and summer, the brand new shoots come out. But both trees, the brand new shoots, like the little branch just flops right over, and then they fall off. The whole thing falls right off, and they find them laying in the yard. And I don't know what the heck's going on with these two trees. I've never happened to them before. They're about 5-6 years old.
Okay, and so the new stems come out, they just fall off, do they?
They dry up first, yes, and die. Dry up first, die, and then fall off.
Okay, so a couple of things I want you to check is first of all, check the bark of any of both the trees damaged at all?
The flowering crab, when we were out at our lake lot, there was a huge high wind here, two, 3 years ago. And when we cut home, one of the big branches had broke right off. Well, not totally.
Yep.
It was just leaning over. So we picked it up and taped it really good, because I know that you can do that, and it will eventually gel back to the regular trunk, right?
Yep.
But I think this one was left unattended too long.
So is this the branch that you're having trouble with then?
No. My husband
yep.
cut it off. He just
cut
it right off.
Yep. So,
but what we're having problem with is on the other branches where the new shoots are coming out.
Yep.
Those are drying up and falling off.
Okay, so there was no damage from, let's say, a mouse or a rabbit on the base of the tree, or a whippersnapper?
No.
On the base of the tree?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Rick.
Yep.
I better not say, my husband, where the little shoots come up.
Yep.
He took your advice about the path clearer.
Yep.
Yeah. And he also does whippersnapper. He whippersnips the little shoots. He was doing that until he started using the path clearer.
Okay. Now, one thing to watch: if you whippersnip around the trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
And you cut the bark, or you damage the bark, it won't let sap up to the top of the tree. The tree will survive for almost a year because there's enough energy in the trunk. But then after that, if there's too much damage in the trunk, what happens is the leaves will pop out, and then they'll start to wither and die. Now, are you getting new leaves again, or is it just now this year that there's no new leaves coming anymore after they wilted?
No, there was new leaves. All these new shoots, new leaves come out.
But since the ones wilted, is there new leaves or not? Since the ones wilted. You know what I suggest you do? Because this sounds like I need to take a little better look at it. Are you able to take a picture and send it to rick@dutchrose.com?
Okay. Yes. And
let's do that.
All right. And what was that? Rick at what?
Dutchrose.com.
Okay, rick@dutchgrowers.com.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, will
do.
We
can have a bit longer conversation and then take a picture, look at it, and then we can have a longer conversation about what's happening.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks so much. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. I think we're going to take a little break right now. Gene is in Regina. Gene, hang on. You're going to be the next caller up. We're going to get to the text that we've also received over the first segment here and back with more Garden Talk right after this. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke, who joins us by the phone, like always, these days anyways. We've got texts to get to. We've got calls as well. Jim, you're up next, but waiting the longest on hold for us. Let's get to the calls at 1-877-332-8255. Gene is in Regina. Good morning, Gene.
Hi there. I have a question about, I have a solitary clematis. It grew 4 feet high, was just blooming, the flowers on top just opened up, and we got a big wind here. It knocked it down in half. Now, I do have supports on it, but I guess I didn't have them high enough because it grew so well this year, and it just went right back sort of in half, and the flowers were laying on the ground. So I brought it back up and provided kind of a netting support to have it straight up. My question is, should I cut it back, say, a couple of feet? And because the flowers are all gone now. And
yeah, if it's done flowering, you can. But I would suggest is just let it grow up as tall as it can every year. Like sometimes those things can grow up 8 feet high, right?
Yes, I know.
If not more. I mean, it's seen some grow up 12 feet high.
Right.
But the best thing to do if you want more flowers every year is just let it grow up all the way, and then what happens with that variety you have is that it's going to die back to the ground and come back from the base every year, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so what you can do is when you want to cut it back in the spring or in the fall. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Either one.
Yeah.
After the leaves have all turned brown from the frost.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
My question maybe is more, what type of support would be the best for it? Because, as you know, Regina gets a lot of wind.
Yeah. If you can, just put a trellis, or otherwise, if you can, attach some kind of a chicken wire to the wall.
Yeah, I have kind of a very fine nylon netting.
Yeah, you might have to go something heavier than nylon because the wind can affect it too much.
Oh.
And you might have to get somebody to help you to actually, without, you know, making holes, too bad of holes in the house, right?
Right.
Attaching some kind of a more of a solid, because that plant's going to be there forever now, right? So
yeah. You
want to attach more of a solid.
Do that because this solitary clematis is up against a lattice fence.
Okay.
Now, I probably could put, and the lattice fence is 4 feet high.
Yeah, so then put a little bit of chicken wire on there, and it'll be there for every year, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I should
that's
what maybe I
do. Something more solid than that little nylon. It'll help you for the winds.
Yeah, it might cut the branches on it, too.
No, it'll be fine. It'll go right around it. It'll be,
yeah.
It won't have a problem.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And
you're
Rick,
welcome.
Have you ever thought about writing a book for us?
Oh, you know what? I thought about a book, and I right now I just don't have the time.
Yep. Well, someday down the road, because I was a big fan of Lois Hole, and
Lois was amazing.
Yes, and I've got all of her plant books. So
yes,
you're the next on the list. I'm waiting to read.
Thanks,
okay,
Gene.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
1-877-332-8255. That's nice to say, Gene. Thanks very much. Yeah,
absolutely.
And Rick knows enough to write a book, let me tell you. Let's keep going with the calls. We'll get to the texts in a second here. In Saskatoon, Jim is joining us right now. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi there. What's your question for Rick?
I got root maggots or something chewing the roots off my onions. What can I do for them?
Yep. You, what you want to do for all the maggots, come having that in cabbages and radishes and all kinds of onions, what you want to use, a product that's called, because all the other chemicals are gone now, right, for putting, getting rid of the maggots in the garden.
Yep.
So the only one that's going to work right now is basically a biological. It's called Grub Be Gone Nematodes. So what it is, it's actually a little insect that goes down and it goes, seeks and destroys and attacks the grubs down there. And so this is another insect that it only attacks the grubs. That's all it goes after. Goes after grubs, goes after cutworms, goes after sod webworms as well. And so that's what you can use, and it's totally biological. It's totally environmentally friendly, everything else. So it's called Grub Be Gone Nematodes.
Okay.
And you have to follow the instructions properly because you got to wet the garden down because the nematodes have to go through moist soil, okay? So we have to go by the instructions very carefully. and you need a special sprayer to spray it, or you can put it in a watering can too if you want, and water that way around the garden as well, or you can get a special nematode sprayer. It fits on the end of your garden hose, and you can just spray your area, your lawn or your garden with that as well.
Okay, very good.
Okay. All right, thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we got a few minutes, so we have to go to our bottom of the hour news update. So let's get some of these texts answered as well. This one comes from Bernice, who's in Big River. She wants to know, how much bone meal can you put on a 2-foot Saskatoon bush and a 12-foot Saskatoon bush? How often, and can it go on just dry?
Yeah, but you can put it on just dry, but you need to work it into the top of the soil.
Okay.
Just so it doesn't blow away and dry up and that kind of stuff. So just work it into the top couple inches of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And for just a young, Saskatoon, you could probably put about 2 cups around the plant and work it in.
Okay.
And for an older one, put about 4 or 5 cups around them and work it into the soil.
Now, Brittany says the 12-foot ones are transplants. So that's still okay?
Yeah, actually, transplants, that's what, because it's more effective when you have transplants.
Oh, okay.
So it works really well that way. So.
And when does she stop? Does she keep going? When do you stop applying it?
Basically, she can do it. She can put it on 3 times during the year. But then after that, only put it on once a year, for 3 times for the first year, and after that, just once a year in the spring.
Okay, that's easy. Right on.
Yep.
1-877-332-8255. This is Linda, who's in Regina. Says the leaves on my tiger lilies have been eaten in places. The flower buds have been eaten. And there's tiny black, possibly bug eggs on the leaves as well. Is what it looks like. What would that be, and how can I treat it?
She probably has a lily beetle.
Okay.
I'm surprised she said black, though, because usually they're orange, okay?
Mm. But those are, those are the eggs that are black.
Okay, yeah, but even the eggs are orange as well.
Oh, okay.
So she probably has a form of a lily beetle. And so what she needs to do is she's going to need to spray with a product called Ambush. And she wants to do it every 10 days. And you're going to need to do it about 3, 4, or 5 times during the summertime. Don't spray the flowers, just the leaves.
Right. Now, I mean, okay. It's probably too late for the things to flower this year, she says, but for the future, she'll work on that. So
yeah, she needs to get them under control.
Okay, 1-877-332-8255. Dylan in Saskatoon says, I've got a birch tree that we planted last year. It's coming back pretty slow since spring. Lots of branches near the bottom are dead. Should I trim the dead branches off?
Yeah, if they're totally dead, you can trim. And now is the time for all birches and maples. Now we're in the middle of July, basically.
Yep.
You can start pruning birches and maples during from now until the middle of September. So that's a good thing to remember. All birches and maples, because you trim them late in the fall or early in the spring, they bleed like crazy.
Right.
So now is the time, July 15th until September 15th, for birches and maples is a great time to prune them.
And I suppose you can do the test kind of with your fingernail. If you scrape the bark and you still find green underneath the bark.
Yep.
You don't have to trim it, right? I mean, even if there's no buds there, it may still come.
It may still come, but if it hasn't come by the middle of July, it's probably not going to come.
Right. But anything that's kind of crispy and crunchy, that can be pruned off for sure, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Karen is from Beaver Flat. I think we've got time for maybe one more text here. No, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. We're getting close to the end here. So we're going to get to Karen's text when we get back. We've got somebody named Fern. How fitting to text Garden Talk. She's in Saskatoon. A question about a bur oak. Marcy in Regina, as well as Val and Moose Jaw. We're going to get to these texts when we get back here. So hang tight. We'll get your questions answered. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. Second half of the show, and here we go. We're looking at maybe some wet weather around Saskatchewan today. We'll see what happens. They're talking about, a bit of a system pushing through a big chunk of the province, and I can see it on the radar, and it's kind of making its way from west to east, but it's a very narrow, long band that stretches through a good chunk of the province, so we could see some of that. All right,
especially
Rick.
Especially some of the salt. I heard some of the southern, like Assiniboia and Oaken area there.
Yes.
Like they may get hit again today.
Yeah, that's right. There are even more warnings and watches and things like that up for the southern part of the province, so check out the weather office or some weather information today, just so you can make sure you stay safe, because you never know what happens. It's July, right? I mean, we got hot weather and systems move through, and interesting things can happen.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to a phone line, and then we're going to get back to our text line just after that. We're going to talk to Lynn right now, who is in Weyburn. Hello, Lynn.
Hello. I'm having trouble with my Winnipeg Parks rose because something is taking the green from the leaves. I can't really see what insect it is. But
yeah, if you're taking green from the leaves, it means you have a miner. What they do is they, it's a miner, it's a little fly, and he lays an egg, and then the larva from the egg is a little worm that goes in between the two layers of leaves and eats out the inside of the leaf. So it's not a real big problem, miners, unless they cover every single leaf on the plant. So
they're covering a lot.
Go ahead.
They are covering a lot of leaves.
A lot of them.
Especially
yeah, the real
the
problem.
New growth is not so much.
Once the miner gets inside the leaf, there's nothing I can do to spray it to get at them. There's no chemical or anything else, so it's really hard to control a miner. The best thing to do is if you find the leaf that's starting to be mined, go and just take your fingers and squish that little bug inside the leaf so it can't mine any more of the leaf. And so that's the only way you can really, really control them, is go out there, especially on a rose because it's not that big, you can control them by just squishing the bugs inside the leaf.
Mm. There are a lot of leaves to squish, actually.
Yeah, I know, but on a rose, I mean, a big birch tree, you can't really do it, but that's the only option you have. There's no way of getting the bugs other than squishing them.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Lynn. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. That's where you call and you text. Let's go back to the text line right now because we've got more that's rolled in there as well. Let's see. Next one was from Karen, who's in Beaver Flat. Says, we've got a juniper tree in a line of junipers and cedars that's died. Will we damage the roots of other trees if we take the dead one out with a backhoe? The other trees are about 10 feet apart.
Is it 10 feet apart? You can, but just try to stay more close to the trunk as you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to take it out with a backhoe, try not to go farther out.
Yep.
And because you're not going to be planting a that big of a tree in the same spot anyways, but 10 feet apart, the roots will be growing into each other. So just try to take, you know, as close to the trunk as you can. Try not to go wide. Don't go 5 feet away from the trunk, let's say, because then you're going to have problems with damaging the root of the other plant.
Yep. Okay. There you go, Karen. This one is from Fern, who's in Saskatoon. Says, good morning. I've got a boomerang lilac. Lots of green leaves, but no flowers this year at all. I cut it down in the early spring.
That's the problem.
Exactly, Fern.
Yeah, you never cut a boomerang lilac until after it finishes blooming. And
right.
Boomerang lilacs can bloom up to 3 times a year, so you have to deadhead it after each time it flowers and give it a little bit of pruning. But never prune it in the spring because you'll cut that first set of blooms off every time.
And does the first set trigger the second set and trigger the third?
The first set is the biggest set, right?
Right.
So what will happen, you get a lot of growth that want to come back up, but you sometimes will get a second set later on this summer, and you probably will get a little flowering in September on this one that she cut back now. But her big bloom she lost because she cut all the buds off.
So when does Fern actually trim this thing?
Right after it finishes blooming. And if it didn't bloom at all, like not talking about bloomerang lilac, because that's a different lilac altogether, but all the rest of the lilacs, if it didn't bloom, trim it right now, and then give it some fertilizer to produce new growth, and it'll bloom next year. But the boomerang lilac, just always wait till it finishes blooming and then prune it dead, always.
Right, and that's the only time you got, really.
The only time you have.
So a bit different. So, yeah. Yep. There you go, Fern.
Unless you got a big plant that you want to trim right down again, then you're going to lose flowers for 2 years, and it'll come back again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you do a major pruning. And she did a major pruning, like cut it down from 4 feet down to 2 feet. She's not going to get blooms till next year.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Next text says, my bur oak has small orange beads on the leaves.
Yes.
What's that?
It's a wasp.
Oh.
It's actually a wasp. It's a tiny wasp that basically goes and basically puts a spit into the stem, which causes what's called a gall. And a gall is where it puts its eggs into, okay, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you can do is, it really, there's not much you can do about that other than, if you want to get rid of it, is in first thing in the spring before the leaves come on the oak tree, is you got to spray them with dormant oil. So you have to do it when it's above zero, but before the leaves come on. So it's about anywhere between the 15th of April and the 25th of April is when you want to do it. and spray dormant oil. My father did had very good success getting rid of it on his big oak tree. But other than that, otherwise you can just pick them off. Otherwise, if there's not too many of them, it's not it won't hurt the tree. They're just using the tree as a host. They're not actually attacking the tree. The only time it hurts the tree is if the branches get so many of those galls that it basically disrupts the sap system going up into the tree.
Right. Okay. 1-877-332-8255. That's the text line. Marcy in the Regina says, hello, I missed your answer last week on what's causing mushrooms in the lawn and how to get rid of them.
Mushrooms in the lawn is caused by organic matter. It's either by too much thatch, so you haven't been bagging at all your grass clippings,
yep.
So too much. You need to aerate your lawn, or not aerate, dethatch your lawn. Or otherwise, it could be from an old root or stump that's in the ground,
mm-hmm.
or it could be from construction a long time ago, or recently pieces of 2x4, pieces of plywood, whatever. So it's something organic. So the way you get rid of that is you aerate the area that you have the mushrooms growing on, and you put some more fertilizer in that area and water that area. And that's the best way. And if you have a big area where you have lots of it happening, especially where an old trunk was, you can actually put some compost accelerator on it. It's a bacteria which helps break all that organic matter down. And actually, if you don't mind the mushrooms, just let them grow there because they're actually feeding on the organic material and breaking it down even quicker.
Right.
Okay, so otherwise just leave the mushrooms there if you don't mind the look of them. You don't want to look for them. If you don't like the look of the mushrooms, then you need to use other like compost accelerator bacteria to break down that organic matter quicker.
Okay, Val has a text from Moose Jaw. She says, just wondering about the best pest control for insects in my cabbage.
Oh, the best for that one is for insects in your cabbage is putting actually a roll cover. It's a thin white fabric that lets light through and water through, but doesn't let the insects go. So there's a little moth that flies and lays his eggs, and that becomes the caterpillar, right? Which starts eating on the cabbages and lettuce and all that kind of stuff. So a cauliflower, all that kind of stuff. So you need to cover them up so that the moth can't lay its eggs. And that's about the best way now. We used to have Deratox and all those Rotenos and everything else, but they're all off the market now.
Mm-hmm.
So all those insecticides we used to dust onto our plants are all gone. So now you just have to go to the organic of just using a crop cover to keep the actual moth from laying its egg.
Okay. Let's get one more text in before we go to the break. This is from Willa, who's at Kitepwa Lake. Says, there's horseradish growing in the ditch out here. I've been looking at the web trying to get some information, getting conflicting information on when I can harvest it. And when can I? What's the best way to start my own at home in Regina? I plan on putting some behind the garage, which is east-facing.
Well, I would suggest horseradish, you can put horseradish in, but you got to remember, horseradish is evasive,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you may want to just go get it from where you see it, you know, rather than bring it to your yard. Because they are evasive, they'll spread like crazy. So make sure if you're going to plant it in an area, it's contained, almost like a concrete barrier around it.
Well, you know, like I've got some relatives who have taken a plastic rain barrel or one of those plastic, chemical barrels,
yep.
and cut sections out of it. You know, basically
yep.
cut a slice out of it around, makes a round disc, and they sink that into the ground. And
yep.
it's, 18 inches tall, so it makes a big sidewall, basically,
yep.
and then plant things that are evasive in that, and it can't go out any further than the plastic barrier, right?
Yeah, or you get a big old nursery pot, you know?
Yeah, right.
And you take
the bottom
off and bury the whole nursery pot in the ground and then plant inside of it. A lot of people will put things like even raspberries, or otherwise they'll put things like gut weed or ribbon grass, things that are evasive. And just to contain them.
So when can Willa move this stuff?
Once you want to move it, you want to move it when it's dormant. I mean, it's pretty tough. It almost can move it any time, as long as you take a good ball of earth with it.
Okay.
So it can move it almost any time. But she asked for when's the best time to go and harvest it, right?
Yep.
And so harvesting is going to be more later summer.
Yep.
That's when you can go harvest it.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Chris hanging on. Chris, hang on. We'll get to your call as soon as we get back, and we'll answer some texts during the break and try to get through as many as we can after this as well. I'm Jay Thomas, the Rick Van Dyvendyke, This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. It's the last segment, and it is sort of the quick segment, the rapid fire last 15 minutes here. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyven Dyke. Okay, we've got text to get to, and we've got a call that's been waiting in Swift Current. Let's go talk to Chris right now. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question for us?
Our potato plants, they start out growing and the leaves are coming out, and then all of a sudden the leaves start to shrivel up and all you're left with is a stalk. We're just wondering what's wrong with our potatoes.
What color are the leaves turn color?
They're still green, but they just curl up into like a little, almost like there's something inside of there, but we've opened them out. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, you may have a virus of some sort in them. Yeah, they're just crinkling up, right tight.
Right tight.
And you're not seeing any insect inside of them, right?
No insect inside.
Yeah, there's two things that cause crinkling like that. One is too much moisture, okay?
Okay.
So you'll have too much moisture can cause crinkling up like that as well, so something happening at the roots, right? So it could be too wet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The other one, it could be have a virus in it. But a lot of times the virus is your leaves will turn also a rusty color or a black color, right?
No, they're not. They're green.
They're just staying green and crinkly. I would first of all check probe the soil and see what the moisture is down below.
Okay.
If you find that the soil is very wet, you could be just having the plant's just telling you that there's something wrong at the roots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not turning color at all. So there's two things that happen. One is that, like I said, most viruses you'll see that it'll turn either black or rusty color. But if it's just turning green, it's either an insect, you know, but then you don't see any insects, right? Take a magnifying glass in case you see a mite or something like that in it, okay?
Okay.
But otherwise, check for your moisture at your roots. So probe the soil with a piece of, I like using a piece of rebar, because it has ribs on it. And you poke it down, the ribs bring a sample up. And that's a good way to check in the moisture level down below the soil level.
Okay. It's not anything to do with the soil at all?
It could be.
The moisture?
It could be. If you want, you send a picture to Rick at DutchGrowers.com as well. And then I can see what they look like.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that.
Right on.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Take care. All right.
Have a good day.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to go to Regina Beach right now and talk to Ted. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
What's your question for us?
I have a quick question on the lawn. We have a ground cover that's kind of evasive, and it's going all through the lawn. I'm just wondering, is there a product that I can, besides sitting down like we are and pulling it, is there something that might not hurt the lawn but can get rid of some of the ground cover?
It all depends on what kind of ground cover it is. Most ground covers will be killed by either, you know, a product called Weed Be Gone or Kill-X or something like that. Most of them will be killed, but take care of bugs with that. Okay, have you tried any of that yet at all?
No, not at all. We've just been picking.
Yeah, if you want, try something like the Weed Be Gone is an iron product, so it's more organic, okay? And so try that first. Otherwise, you can try something like a Kill-X, which is a 2,4-D. Or otherwise, if it is something like a crabgrass, okay, then you can actually, the best way to get rid of that one, because, you know, those other herbicides don't work, is you can use corn gluten, because you're stopping each plant produces a whack of seeds, and corn gluten will stop the seeds from germinating and spreading that way. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the best thing to do is, first of all, do your Weed Be Gone first, and that's an iron. It's basically an iron base. Try that first, and that should take care of it. Just make sure you don't hit any other plants at the edge of your lawn. Okay, like your shrubs and perennials and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
The other question is, I was standing in line at the grocery store and I had bought some seed a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, you're reading quarter inch or an inch deep, that sort of thing.
Yep.
But I'm having a little trouble. I bought some bird seed and I put it in the ground an inch deep and I'm not getting any birds. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Ted. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. I don't know if that's the right place to plant that seed. That's good. I like it. All right, let's get to the text line. Diane in Regina asks, just wondering what's happening with my dahlias. Lots of buds, but they dry up right away and don't open up.
Yeah, dahlias is because you're either keeping it too wet or too dry. That's the only reason why they won't open up for. So watch, it's either too wet or too dry. And if it's too wet, that's what will happen. The buds will just dry up, and same thing with too dry. So stick your finger into the soil, your index finger as far as you can into the soil.
Yep.
And it should dry out to that point before you water it again. Okay?
Yep, for sure. This is Don, who's in Lampman. Hi, guys. What's the best time of year to trim my Cotone Aster hedge, and how often can I cut it right down to the ground?
Okay, so you can trim a Cotone Aster hedge all through the summertime if you're just trimming off the new growth.
Yep.
If you want to do a major pruning, best thing to do is do it in October, end of October, or otherwise do it in the end of March or the first week of April.
All right, perfect. This is from a text from Arcola and says, we have 22 hackberry trees lining our laneway. We planted them 3 years ago in the fall. We bought them as 7 to 8 foot trees. They leaf out quite late in the season, and each year we wonder if they're going to make it at all. This year we have three that have been leafing out on the trunk. Two of those have finally sent some leaves onto the lower branches. One still has yet to leaf out on any branches. We watered them faithfully, fertilized them. We chose hackberries because of how hardy the write-ups told us said that they were. They seem to lose height each year because they don't leaf out on the branches. Is that normal for hackberries?
Well, what's been happening is that she's been getting some winter kill. So what you have to watch for is that once with hackberries, especially even maples and birches, is that once you get to September, then start slowing down the water. Only enough water just to barely keep it alive. You want that plant to shut down. Hackberries will sometimes keep the leaves on into the fall, and if they keep their leaves, if they don't turn color and fall off before November, then you're going to get some kill back all the time.
Mm.
So when you're going to fertilize it, hackberries only in May and June, and don't fertilize it the rest of summer. You want them to slow down,
right,
and not keep going. And that's why you're getting a lot of that kill for. And make sure that you're keeping them moist but not wet. But especially once you get past September, slow down the watering. If you want to give it one last good watering in the fall, do that about the third week of October, and that's it.
And it may be possible some of these trees just are done too, right? Like they've just gotten so much every year.
Yeah, but the thing is, it sounds like they've only been there for a short time, so they should be going. It's just a matter of getting to shut down and getting the root system, getting the plant hardy first.
All right, we got to run.
Yep.
We'll answer some more texts off the air. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay Thomas, Rick Van Dyvendyke. This has been Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.